Tony and Dawn for lighting the candle that is the first candle of this Advent season on the first Sunday of Advent. This candle represents watch, and we are delighted, Dawn, that you are part of our staff at Good Shepherd, that you've come on board recently to work in the whole area of adult faith formation. And Tony, we're so delighted that you and Dawn have come together to be part of our family of faith and participate in this very important moment in which we light the first candle of the Advent wreath this week. You know, throughout the course of history, watching time has been an important part of daily life. We watch by managing our time, by protecting our time, and being motivated by time-driven deadlines, do we not? Watch is a vital component of everyday life, is it not? Take a moment and look at the watch on your wrist or the watch on your phone and think about the myriad of ways in which you use that watch, not only to manage time, but to count steps, to monitor your heartbeat, to do a whole cadre of different kinds of things with your watch in whatever form you have it. Isn't that true? You can probably think of all kinds of things you do with your, what would you do without your watch or the watch that's on your phone? What would you do? The church has an interesting watch. During this time leading up to Christmas, the watch is called Advent. Advent is a word that means coming. And in Advent, this time when we celebrate the coming of Christ, there's actually three important dynamics. One that represents the past, one that represents the present, and one that represents the future. For in the season of Advent, which means coming, we prepare to celebrate the coming of the Christ child. Do we not? That's what we're getting ready for Christmas, the celebration of the baby Christ. But also, isn't it during this time that the church prays for the coming of Christ into our hearts? That's what we prayed for with Quinn today. That Christ would come into her heart in a new and special way. How significant that she's baptized on the first Sunday of Advent, the first day of the church year. That's powerful. That's significant. And the third dynamic of Advent is observing or preparing for the second coming of Christ. Advent has always had that dynamic of celebrating, preparing for the Christ child, the past, welcoming the Christ child into our hearts, the present, and anticipating the coming of Christ again, the future. Those are important watch components to the season of Advent. Advent is all about keeping hope alive. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what baptism was all about today. You know, there's only 3 weeks left toward Christmas. Did you know that? I know we think of the 4 weeks of Advent. That's kind of a misnomer. It's the 4 Sundays of Advent, but if you've looked at your calendar, you know that December 24th, only about 3 weeks from now, is the 4th Sunday of Advent. What does that mean? Since December 24th has another connotation in our culture today, being Christmas Eve, right? What does that mean to have Advent 4 on December 24th? It means this. It means that we're going to have worship at 8 o'clock and 9:30 in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. And at 9:29 here in the worship center, we're going to celebrate the 4th Sunday of Advent. And then we're not going to have any worship services at the 11 o'clock hour that day, because at the magic hour of 12 noon, everything transforms in preparation for our 7 worship services of Christmas Eve. So that schedule is listed in your prayer and action guide, and we will celebrate this year because Advent, or rather Christmas Eve, 4th Sunday of Advent, is on a Sunday. We celebrate 10 worship services that day. You hopefully will find one that will work for your schedule. Advent calendars another day in which the church celebrates a watch component to our spiritual lives. Any of you ever use an Advent calendar? Ever use an Advent calendar? I especially remember the ones we used when I was a kid. I loved them. You got to open up the little door, and you got to see what was inside, and sometimes it was a Bible verse, and sometimes it was an object that was part of maybe the nativity scene. And if you were really lucky, and you had those special Advent calendars that had chocolates inside, it was a great way to keep the Advent discipline going day after day as you opened up to see what kind of a surprise or treat you might find inside. An Advent calendar is a way in which the church celebrates watch. The Advent wreath is also a way in which the church celebrates watch. We mark the four Sundays of Advent with the four candles on the Advent wreath. It's a way of watch. We also have done some watch events here at Good Shepherd this past week. We had Advent night. It began with a meal down in the activity center, and then it was followed by a vibrant family worship up here in the worship center, and it was so much fun. There were lots of kids and lots of families. The place was packed, and we really focused on Advent, the coming of Christ, the celebration of Jesus' birthday. That was our focus. This week, we began a series of Advent celebrations, which are really watch events, called Encounter Christmas. And I need to tell you that Encounter Christmas has morphed over the years. It began 8 years ago with a single service here in the worship center that a few people came to. It wasn't very crowded. There were plenty of seats for everybody. The second year, it gained in popularity, and the place was pretty crowded. By the third year, it was jam-packed, so much so that we decided it's time to go to adding an extra Encounter Christmas, and we went to two. And then we went to two in a larger space. We had to use the sanctuary because there wasn't enough room for even two. And this year, it's morphed that we'll have four opportunities to Encounter Christmas, beginning this Thursday with two Encounter Christmas experiences, and there's still room at the 8:30 especially, but there's room at all of them. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, Encounter Christmas. They have also morphed. They've learned a lesson from the pie thing, and so they're calling it the cookie thing. And I'm all in favor of it. I think it's a good morph. So you are encouraged and invited to bring cookies, your favorite kind that you want to bring, and you want to get them out of the house because you know that you shouldn't have them around the house. And so bring them to church when you come to Encounter Christmas. It's a way to watch in preparation for Christmas. Yesterday I was over at Wayside Cross, and I was just bringing some things there, and I noticed something that perked or caught my attention. During this Advent season, we're focusing on the theme, keeping hope alive. And there in the parking lot of Wayside Cross, which is a homeless shelter and ministry for the homeless, there was this huge sign that said, Hope on Wheels. And so I learned a little bit more about that sign. Now there's a ministry within the ministry of Wayside Cross in which those who are clients at Wayside Cross have developed a car detailing service called Hope on Wheels. It's a way for people to bring resources to help those who are in great need, finding or keeping hope alive in their lives. We have other ways in which hope is being kept alive here at Good Shepherd. Gifts from the Heart, some special opportunities for Feed My Starving Children, and Gift Mart are all ways in which we, during this Advent season, are celebrating how God keeps hope alive. I know that the sales and marketing departments in the business world have had all of us on the clock, so to speak, since last December 26th, as they have marked the 365 shopping days until the next Christmas. And this year, once again, when the clock strikes 12:01, we'll begin the countdown, the watch, once again, the 365 days of shopping before Christmas. In stark contrast to the madness of Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all the rest that is so commercialized about Christmas, the church encourages meaningfulness in contrast to madness, in which we might grow spiritually during this season of Advent, the season of allowing Christ to come into our hearts. Ever since Adam and Eve played hide and go seek with God in the Garden of Eden, so too have we been in need of a Savior. Lucky for us, God found Adam and Eve in the garden. Lucky for us, God sent his Son to seek us out and find us and save us from our sins. For that's the true meaning of Christmas. And that's why I shamelessly show pictures of my grandson, Remy, playing hide-and-go-seek in an apple orchard. Because when we did so, it reminded me of how God, or rather Adam and Eve, played hide-and-go-seek with God in the Garden of Eden. And just as God found them, so too did God find Remy in his baptism, as we this Christmas want him to grow more and more in his relationship with God, as Quinn will do in the years to come. We appreciate so much that Quinn is baptized today. I suspect that the two of you probably know that the name Quinn means counsel. It has a connotation of intelligence, and nobody would debate with you that you, Ryan, and Kristen believe that Quinn is probably the smartest baby ever born. So we know she's already living up to her namesake. The name Irene means peace or peaceful. Actually has its roots in Greek mythology. Irene was the goddess of peace. We know one particular grandma who will not debate the meaning of that word. This weekend, as Quinn is baptized, you as parents, you as godparents, you as grandparents are making promises. You are desiring to watch as Quinn grows in faith, to watch as God nurtures her, even as you care for her, to watch in such a way that this holy temple, her little body, truly is transformed into a place that cradles the Christ child. That's the significance of watch in Quinn's life and in each of ours as well. Watch and wait. You will wait to see Quinn do some things, although you probably already marvel at some of the things she does. And each new thing she does will be a reward for the wait. Watch and wait is so important during Advent. In fact, in one of the Gospels for this first Sunday of Advent, from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, it talks about watch and wait from God's perspective. These are the words of Jesus about watch and wait. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. Watch. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. These are the words of Jesus on this first Sunday of Advent. Watch and wait. With all of the allegations, accusations, abuses, and attacks that are also prevalent in our culture today, watch seems to be associated with watch out. Watch out. And perhaps rightly so, since much of what is coming out has been swept under the rug far too long. In fact, a new code of conduct seems to be surfacing, some of it long overdue. Watch out is a catchphrase oh so important in our culture, our world today. Watch, from a Christian perspective, addresses a culture that is screaming, watch out. So do you know what the word of the year is for 2017? Have you heard? The word of the year for 2017 is complicit. Most often it has a negative connotation, and rightly so, because the word actually means to be associated with or participating in a questionable act or crime, involved with others in reprehensible or illegal activity. I wonder why that would be the word of the year for 2017. Any ideas? Is it possible that negative word, complicit, could be transformed for good? Is it possible that God, who can transform anything and everything, can transform evil into good? Is it possible? Is it possible that we might be complicit in watching for the Christ, the Savior? You know, the world often treats Christian witness as complicit, doesn't it? Have you ever heard that old question? If you were ever accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, Israel watched and waited for a long time. They were watching and waiting for the Messiah, their Savior. The scripture tells us that there was a period of time, 400 years long, from the last prophecy until the birth of Jesus. 400 years. That's almost twice as long as our country is old. Those silent years during which the people of Israel watched and waited. Ever been in a time in your life when you wondered, where was God? Why was God allowing you to wait so long to see his presence in your life? Why did you have to wait and watch so long? Put that in the context of how long Israel waited. Generations they waited until the promise of God was delivered. The Messiah did come. The scripture says it this way. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Judah and Israel. The prophet Jeremiah spoke those words. They were fulfilled in the words of Jesus in Matthew and in Mark when he said, but about that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but only the Father. So be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Keep awake. Watch. So if this watch thing is so important during this season of Advent, how do we watch? How do we do that? I mean, it's one thing to agree to do it. How do you do it? I suppose I could tell you do it by reading your Bibles. I suppose I could tell you that you can come to worship. I suppose I could tell you you can come to encounter Christmas with or without cookies. I suppose I could tell you to use an Advent wreath in your home to tell your children about the Christ child. I suppose I could tell you that because those are good ways to watch. And I hope that all of you do that. The truth of the matter is some will. Some will really watch in that way. And many won't. Unless we know the motivation for the watch, the purpose of the watch, the reason for the watch. When we know the motivation, then we are inspired to watch in the way in which the Bible invites us to watch. So let's talk about that motivation for a moment in this context. And let me illustrate it this way. Feel free to add in your own minds, your own scenarios, your own cases in point, your Feel free to be convicted if you are. Feel free to be enriched or enlightened. Feel free to be even transformed if the Holy Spirit is at work in you today. And therefore, watch, hopefully, from a whole new perspective. Watch from this metaphoric perspective. My wife Shay and I have now lived in the Aurora Naperville community for over 20 years. It was over 20 years ago that Ed and Janet, we stayed in your house while we were waiting for our house to be ready. And we stayed there for a short time. That was over 20 years ago. During that time, there's one adjustment I've not been successful in making. And that adjustment is I've never quite adjusted to the traffic in this area. And I have to tell you that it's not gotten better. I think it's gotten worse in the last 20 years. With the advent of texting, that's not improved things one bit. So back then, if I remember right, there were three traffic lights between our home and the church. Now there are at least 10, maybe more. And so there are times when just getting into the church leaves me so frustrated and flabbergasted that I feel like I should take a victory lap when I've finally made it to my destination. So here are my observations on traffic in this area in the context of Advent Watch. Have you ever noticed that the way people drive is often a clue to their lifestyle? In fact, driving habits can oftentimes parallel lifestyles. For example, have you ever encountered the wanderers on the road? You know, the ones for whom the white lines are not really boundaries, they're more like suggestions. Have you ever encountered those drivers out on the road? Usually they're texting, which by the way is illegal. Usually they're on their cell phone when they're meandering all over. Driving is merely a secondary concern, during which the more primary things like texting and talking on the phone are more important. That's the wanderers. Then there's Wrong Way. Maybe you've met Wrong Way. They're the ones who turn left from the right-hand lane. They're the ones who signal one direction but turn the opposite. They're the ones that will enter the do not enter zone. They're the ones that that go past their destination, even though their GPS has got the big flag on it saying that they have arrived. Perhaps you've noticed that Wrong Way are really easy to spot because they're the ones who drive vehicles that go on without a scratch while the sound of crumpling metal, breaking glass, and all of that stuff is going on, squeaking tires behind them. Then there are those with tigers in their tanks. Tigers go always at least a minimum of 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, hurrying and scurrying like mad hatters late for a very important date, even though their destination may be just a routine rendezvous. Turtles are just the opposite, moseying along like they, and those of us stripping our gears behind them, have all the time in the world. Turtles usually travel in the left lane, the passing lane, so that you can't get around them. Turtles kind of poke along through life. They drive our mad dash society even nuttier than it already is. Yeah, a lot of ways lifestyles can be like driving styles. The wanderers seem to live everywhere but the present and attend to everything but the now. They seem sometimes to be lost in the clouds, never seem to come down to earth and join the rest of us. They seem to lack purpose and focus. Wrong ways are forever headed in the direction they should be coming from, a lot like sheep without a shepherd. Tigers seem to zoom past all sorts of people and events, work taking on salvific significance, missing so much that God has already placed right within their presence. As Gandhi once said, there's more to life than simply increasing its speed. Turtles, on the other hand, can slow the pace of life, provided that they have some pace and don't become dormant. So how can God transform driving styles and lifestyles that any of us, or maybe some others among us, might from time to time portray? How can this roadway metaphor help us better understand how God desires to keep hope alive during a season of watch? Well, the Bible tells us, through the words of Jesus, stay awake and watch. And perhaps when we see how God is at work on this first Sunday of Advent, 2017, then maybe God can begin to transform some of those characteristics within us. The opening message of Advent is watch. Four times in the five verses of Mark 13, 32 through 37, Jesus says, watch. Let my word, and how about if we try reading it together this Advent season, let my word be your GPS. Watch. Because in a community like Naperville and our surrounding communities, it's so easy to become spiritually distracted, not by bad things, by good things, but not always the best things. We're tempted to meander and wander. So watch. Remember your baptism and the promises that God gives through baptism, the promises we make to God in baptism, lest we meander through life like sheep without a shepherd. Watch. To the wrong way in each of us, Jesus says, watch. Watch out so that all those good things in life are truly enjoyed, but not worshiped. Encounter Christmas, with or without the cookies. Encounter Christmas and watch, lest your spiritual GPS become hoarse from continually repeating, recalculating. To the tiger in each of us, watch, so that we don't rush past the blessings that God has already brought into our lives. Life is too short for that. So watch. Don't devalue and ignore what God has already brought into our lives. To the turtle in each of us, bless you when you take time to listen. Bless you when you take time to notice, to pray and to praise, as well as listen. But watch, lest you need a spiritual jump start to get you going at the right pace toward the right place of God's discerning. So that's how I think God might take that metaphor and keep hope alive for us this Advent 2017. Of watching in a watch out world. May God truly keep hope alive in each of you this Advent 2017. May Advent 17, 2017 truly be filled with messages of hope and people who proclaim hope as we follow the Savior who brings hope. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that on this first Sunday of Advent, we get to celebrate with Quinn's family her baptism, a wonderful way of bringing hope into her life. We thank you that on this day, we get to celebrate the first Sunday of Advent in which we get to watch and wait as we prepare to celebrate once again the coming of the Christ. As we prepare to have Christ come into our hearts all over again, and as we anticipate the coming of Christ again, Lord, help us to watch. Amen. On that night in which Jesus was